And let's go ahead and pray together as we get into God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and so thankful that we can gather together here. Thankful for the air conditioning. Thankful just for your provision. And Lord, we want to lift up our friends and family and church family members that are hurting right now. We just pray for those that are sick. We pray, Lord, for your healing touch and your nearness to them. They would know your nearness. And Lord, we just pray for those that that are maybe are struggling, maybe even just emotionally, spiritually. Lord, we lift them up to you and we ask, Lord, for your help. And Lord, also just pray that your Spirit would tap us on the shoulder in a sense. Let us know if there's something we can do to help. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, here's a few of the mountains in the U.S. On the left-hand side, this is going to be like a geography question. Anybody know what mountains those are? On the left-hand side, they're the Appalachians mountains, right? In the middle, do you know what that is? Yeah, is that in the Rockies? Okay, if it is, then that is it. Yeah, that's the Rockies in the middle. See, I've never been to any of these places, so. Hey, how about the last one on the right? That's Rainier. That's Mount Rainier in Washington State. Okay, we've all failed miserably. See, next we're going to have a math test, all right? All right. Oh, I see that I really blew that opening illustration. Okay. Well, the point of that is that just like there's different landscapes in the U.S., there are different landscapes of the Christian life. There are mountaintop experiences, and we also have some valleys. Now, I'm not going to ask you what the valleys are because I learned from my first mistake. On the left is Death Valley. All right, doesn't seem like a place you want to be. On the right, that's Yosemite Valley, I think it is, Yosemite Valley. So, but you get the idea, at least from these valleys, these pictures, that those are not necessarily the most exciting places to be. And granted, I'll give you that, at the top of a mountain, you can also freeze to death. But spiritually speaking, when people talk about mountaintop experiences, maybe you've heard that, like, they feel like things are going great in their relationship with God. Maybe God met a need in their life in a special way, and they're just so excited because God was just so personal to them. Maybe that mountaintop experience in their walk with the Lord was just that he healed them from something. Maybe spiritually he helped them out of a hole, so to speak, or physically. And I mean, just there's different things that we experience as we go along with the Lord where we feel like, man, things are going great spiritually. My walk with God is great, and those are the mountaintop experiences. And I think about some of the things that I would kind of put in the category of that in my life. Certainly when I first came to Christ, when I put my faith in him, and just how freeing that was, how I was like, okay, man, I can go to God for anything, and I know he loves me, and he accepts me, and Jesus paid it all, and, just so new, so fresh, and was really exciting. Other things I think about, too, the day I got baptized, I just remember thinking, I'm going public with my faith. I'm really telling everybody, I am a believer, and I want to live for the Lord, and the Lord blesses anyone who steps out in obedience. And you think about the area of baptism. And by the way, I've been thinking about this. Some people say, well, I just don't know that I'm ready for baptism, okay? Well, if you're a Christian, you're ready, okay? There's no readiness except for that you're a Christian. Then it's a matter of, will I obey? That's really where it comes down. I was thinking about that because when I was baptized, it wasn't because I felt like doing it, although I was okay with it, but I just knew that it was a command in Scripture. He wanted me to do it, and so I was like, I'm going to do it. And, God blesses when we do that. And John 14:21, I mentioned this verse, I can't tell you how many times over the years, but is a great verse, right? It talks about whoever has my commandments and keeps them, and he it is who loves me, right? And he says, and then Jesus says, you know, if my Father loves you, and then I will love you, and then he says, and I will manifest myself to you, right? And that's all on the back end of obedience, right? He who has my commandments and keeps them. We experience the Father's love as well as the Son's love, and we experience some kind of a closer walk with the Lord, that manifestation of his presence in our lives more and more. And so I encourage anybody here, if you're a Christian, you've not obeyed the Lord in baptism, you need to contact us. Let us know, and we would love to arrange that for you and talk to you about baptism. And we talk about it in our membership class. But if this is something that you've not obeyed the Lord in, that's what he wants you to do. There's no question. So anyway, that's a little commercial there. But just saying that, you know, that was one of the high points, that I think, in my life, when the Lord, when I did that. Now, other times I can think of are like, and again, this has absolutely nothing to do with me, but it's everything about God, what he was doing. But I remember one time going out with some others, and we were sharing our faith. We were just going out, and this one time I was just so scared. I was afraid, which I'm always afraid. I mean, it's just because you just never know what you're going to get back when you start talking to people about God, right? And so, but I remember just, you know, asking a few questions, and the person just came right back at me and said, well, you know, I'm so glad you asked that, because I've been wondering about how can I have a relationship with God. You know, I'm just like, you know, who does that, right? And so you just knew that was God working, and so I told him how he could have a relationship with God. He accepted the Lord right there, and I'm like, wow, that was incredible, you know? And it was nothing to do with me, but it was all God. But yet, just a great experience, right? And so you could probably point out just different experiences you've had in your walk with God that you would say, hey, that was a real mountaintop time for me. Some people, it's the conference they go on or something where they get away and spend time with God or hear some teaching, and he's really working on our hearts. But then there are also, you know, these valleys that he takes us through, and difficult times of trial. So when we mention valleys today, you know, it does have in the passage we're in, it does mention the valley of the shadow of death. But let me just say this, that phrase can also be interpreted valley of deep darkness, okay? And so, of course, worst case scenario, a valley of deep darkness would be the valley of the shadow of death. So I think there's a relationship there. So we're going to talk about how God, in particular the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, the good shepherd, helps us through the valleys, okay? So if you are able to, why don't you go ahead and stand up with me? We'll read these six verses of Psalm 23 again. I bet you guys have got it memorized by now. You know, we've said this together so many times, and we're standing just in honor of God's word. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your presence prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's word. Please have a seat. Jesus is the shepherd who is with us in the valley. And this verse right here, this verse, Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so that's the verse we're going to focus in on today. And we've been kind of looking a piece at a time at this psalm. Last week we talked about how to follow God's lead. And I hope if you weren't here, you get a chance to listen to that, to learn how to follow God's leading in our lives. That's an important key and important aspect for every believer. But now we're looking at this valley, the valleys of life that the shepherd leads us into. And let me just give you the big picture today. Here's where we're headed. All right, these three things, what we're going to talk about here in the next minutes we have ahead. The shepherd leads us into and through life's valleys. That'll be the first thing. The second thing, the valleys of our lives are intended to be places of spiritual growth. And lastly, in the valley, we are promised the shepherd's presence and protection. So those are the things we're going to look at, one thing at a time here, okay? So, first thing, the shepherd leads us into and through life's valleys. You know, last week, the second part of the verse we looked at talks about the idea that, you know, he leads us, right? He leads us in paths of righteousness, okay? So, he's leading us. He is the one taking us into the valley, okay? And I think that's important for us to realize. These valleys we're talking about are valleys that he's leading us through, okay? Now, granted, we can find ourselves in a hole that we ourselves have created. That's for sure. I've been there, probably be there again. But just saying that these are the valleys that God is leading us through, okay? He is leading us through these times, and it's comforting to know that as we follow God's lead and we find ourselves in a valley, that he's leading us in that. And so that he's, again, I guess you could look this under the banner of God's sovereignty. He's in control. He's leading me here. This is not an accident. Okay? And so God is intimately involved in everything that's going on in our lives. And so this is important for us to realize this idea of the valleys. The Lord is taking us into these valleys. You know, a shepherd, throughout the course of a year, will take their sheep into different pastures. And last week we mentioned, because first of all, if you leave them there, they're just going to eat everything and it won't be worth anything for anyone else or for you to come back to that pasture. It'll just be gone. But they take them to different elevations throughout the course of the year. So sometimes they'll be up towards the tops of the mountains. Sometimes they'll be down in the valleys. And it just depends on the time of the year as to which pasture they're going to be taken to. And so, and there's a purpose. We mentioned last week, too, that, you know, a good shepherd is a good manager of the sheep, and he has a plan in mind. And so the Lord Jesus, too, as our good shepherd, he has a plan in mind. He has chosen a pasture for you to be in right now, and that might be in the valley. You might find yourself in a valley right now. That valley might be a relationship that is you're having real difficulty with right now. It's a real trial in your life. It could be a valley where you're just spiritually discouraged. Maybe you're even just, you know, maybe you're clinically depressed. Okay, one of the hymn writers and actually a great theologian of former centuries, John Owen, was clinically depressed for some time, and yet was following God through the deep darkness of his soul, and he was really had hard times, but yet he knew God was with him, though all the times he didn't feel it. And so so there are various types of valleys that God takes us through. With the point here is that you got to know that he's leading us there. Okay. He is leading us there. There are different seasons that he takes us through, and it's not an accident. Now, the other thing that we want to talk about here is just that, you know, these valleys of our lives are intended to be places of spiritual growth. And it's good to keep that in our minds now, because, like, when you're in the valley, you're not always thinking, oh, this is a great growth opportunity. A lot of times you're thinking, get me out now, God. Where's the exit? Right, but we would not grow if it weren't for that adversity and those trials. In fact, you know, the verses that come to my mind when I think about this, when it's spiritual growth and valleys, would be James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." You know, think about that, those trials of various kinds is just the different types of valleys that the Lord leads us into. Okay? He says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so we can see here from that James that, you know, these trials, and I'm kind of equating that with these valleys, valleys of deep darkness, or valleys of the shadow of death, that those are trials, those are tests of faith. And the Lord leads us into those for a purpose of, it says here, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You know, I don't know if you've talked with a person that's followed God for a long time, has been faithful to the Lord. They've had their ups and downs, but they, when you hear in their voice as they talk about God, as maybe you even share your troubles with them, they are just have a great confidence in God. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of how things look, they are just have a rock solid confidence that God, He's faithful. He's going to help me. I don't know what the outcome is, but God is there for us and we can trust Him. And so that confidence, that steadfast faith comes from having gone through all the trials of life. You know, whether it be trials of loss or whatever, whatever they be. But it really builds a steadfastness in us. Some people, I don't know if you know of George Mueller, a Christian of years gone by, long gone to be with the Lord, said, if we desire our faith to be strengthened, we should not shrink from opportunities where our faith may be tried, and therefore, through trial, be strengthened. He's like, we shouldn't avoid these things because God's going to use these things to strengthen our faith. Otherwise, our faith will remain, in a sense, immature. All right? And so, John Newton, the guy I mentioned to you before, said, trials are medicines which our gracious and wise physician prescribes because we need them, and he proportions the frequency and weight of them to what the case requires. It's like they're custom designed. Every valley we go through is a custom designed valley, all right, by the Lord, and it's to help us grow in our faith, just like James says. It produces steadfastness. And it says in verse 4 of James 1, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That perfect there that it's talking about is really just a maturity. It's a maturity that he's saying, that so that you can become mature in your faith. That's why these things are going on. That's why God is taking us through the valleys and the trials, is for the our maturity. Right? And so that our faith grows strong and it grows deep. Right? I read one quote, I don't remember who it was from, but they mentioned that, you know, when things are going great, we talk a lot about God. When things are going hard and in the valley, we cry out to God. And it's like, you know, there's something different about when we're going through the valleys, that there is a closeness that we have not had before. But there is this maturity that comes from following the Lord and sticking with Him through the trials and looking to Him. This other verse, 1 Timothy 4:8 in the New Living Translation, says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. These trials, right, are really, it's almost like working out. But spiritually, they're helping us grow in godliness, right? Just like, you know, someone who is working out physically, saying, hey, there's definitely benefit to that. I mean, Paul's saying this. He's saying there's benefit definitely to getting physical exercise. But he's saying it's even better if you can train yourself in godliness, because there's benefits not only in this life, but to the life to come. Right? So think about this and linking that with James. Right, if those James, the trials, the valleys are to strengthen our faith, we're going to grow in godliness if we yield to them, if we let God have their intended result. You know, so a question for you to think about, you and I to think about, is, well, what trials or valleys might I be going through right now? What are they? You know, And am I allowing God to have his way in my heart? Like, what, you know, even asking the question of God, God, what are you trying to do in my life? What do you want me to learn about you or about myself even in this trial? Just honest questions to God, prayers to God like that, because we know that he doesn't waste any pain, right? And you realize that if you've ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he never wastes any pain. And so, Lord, what is it? What is this valley that I'm going through? Lord, help me to learn what you want me to learn. Help me to grow how you want me to grow. It usually always comes back to trust, though, trusting God, trusting the shepherd. Will I trust him where he's leading me? Right? And that's the question that we all have to answer. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about here, though, the fact that, you know, most translations do go with, you know, the valley of the shadow of death, right? You think about when shepherds take their sheep down into a shadowy valley, there is danger there lurking, so to speak, in the shadows. There would be predators, you know, for the sheep, and so he'd have to keep vigilant watch to make sure that there's nothing lurking there that doesn't need dealt with. And so, but this valley of the shadow of death, I want to talk about this, how the Christian can have comfort when facing death. All right, because the psalmist says, he talks about the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say right after that? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? For you are with me, right? So I will fear no evil. Well, I'll just be honest. You know, I'm afraid of death. I've got some fears there, okay? And I'll explain what I'm saying here, because I think that everybody, to some degree, has fears, even Christians, when it comes to facing death. But the one fear that we have sometimes is usually because we've never been there, right? We've never died. That's obvious. But put that in the perspective of, you know, we're always mostly uneasy about places we've never been or journeys that we've never taken. They can bring a lot of anxiety. So we're just like, I don't know what this is going to be like, right? I don't know what this is going to be like. Well, the comfort that the Christian has is that Jesus knows the way. He died. He actually died. He's been there, done that, okay? And for us, his sheep, if you're a Christian, the shepherd is leading us to a place he's been, okay? And yes, he didn't stay dead. He rose again, and we will one day too, because he has, okay? But in the facing of death, the Christian can have comfort that Jesus himself has been there, okay? And he will, I believe, meet the Christian in that time to help lead them, right, on into God's presence as they go through the valley of the shadow of death. And so there's a verse here talking about this. It says, "This the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him." And this is when he's talking about we died with him, that's that our the Christian's identification with Jesus, our union with him. Kind of goes back to baptism if you think about it, right? When you're baptized, you go down under the water, kind of like I've died with Christ, and now I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus, right? That's one of the symbolisms there of baptism. But he's saying, if I've died with him, if I'm united with him in his death, and I am, if I put my faith in him, then I also will be alive with him. So, in other words, that's not the end. Death is not the end there for the Christian. We will be with the Lord, right? But the one thing we just need to know is that, you know, it's just always great to have somebody with you who's been there when you're going to a new place, isn't it? Right? And so the Lord is Jesus himself has been there, and he knows the way through that valley, that specific valley of the shadow of death. And so we just need to put our confidence that he knows the way through there, and he will help us through it. Okay, no matter how it comes, he will help us, okay? Now, the person who doesn't, has not put their faith in Christ does not have this confidence, right? Because they'll be separated from God for all eternity when they die in hell. And so this is something to be afraid of, okay, for sure, if someone does not know Christ as Savior, right? And so, but Jesus knows the way. What's another aspect here that a Christian can get comfort when facing death is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The scripture says this, right? So it's like somehow, right, when we die, right, then we are immediately in the presence of the Lord. Who knows how that happens? I don't care how it happens, actually, just as long as it happens, right? And the scripture tells us that it does, right? So when we see passages like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, so as Paul writes the Corinthians, he says, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, like physically away from him, right? And he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? And then how the Christian life is, right? We can't see the Lord, right? We can't see him, but yet we love him and we follow him and and that is an incredible thing in itself. We live by faith, not by sight right now. And then he says, verse 8, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And so this is the Apostle Paul just telling, hey, you know, when you're away from your body, you're with the Lord. There's not this in-between thing going on. You're still alive in your body, you know, or when you die, you're with the Lord. It's one or the other. Okay? And so we can have confidence in that. That when we die, as a Christian, having put our faith in Christ, that, boom, when I die, I breathe my last breath, I'm in the presence of God, like that. Okay. Now, the third thing is this, that, you know, some people fear punishment or something like that. You talk about, you know, the first fear we kind of talked about was that fear of the unknown, right? That, well, Jesus has been this way, so I don't have to be afraid of that, right? And then, and this one here, we kind of addressed that fear of some people are afraid that, you know, what about the wrath of God, right? Well, for the Christian, Jesus has paid our penalty, right? He's taken on the wrath of God for us. We don't have to worry about any sort of wrath of God. Right, it says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So there's needs to be no fear of punishment for the believer, because we have, by God's grace and his mercy, we have escaped that, because that was put on Jesus Christ, right? And again, a person who has not put their faith in Christ, is not a Christian, has everything to fear in this department, okay? Because they will suffer the penalty for their sin because they've chosen not to accept Christ, right? They will suffer the penalty of their sin for all eternity. So, the valley of the shadow of death. So if you were afraid of that, hopefully this helps that, to realize that. You know, and again, I realize that, you know, there's this, I think, I mean, obviously the Lord made us. He knows we're human. He knows we're going to struggle with this, this idea of, I don't want to leave the people behind I love, you know, all those things that go through your mind when you think about this. But if they know the Lord, you'll be reunited, right? Be reunited. And this psalm, you know, we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, is read at a lot of funerals, right? And rightly so, we get to this phrase that we're talking about, right? This verse right here. But we can have confidence as believers. If you're one of Jesus' sheep, he's your shepherd, He's going to lead you safely through the valley of the shadow of death, and he'll certainly lead you through any other type of valley of deep darkness, any trial that you go through. His grace is sufficient for us. His power is perfected in weakness. So, we have the last thing here. In the valley, we're promised the shepherd's presence and protection. And when you look at that verse in Psalm 23, verse 4, he says, I will fear no evil. Well, why does he say that? In the next phrase, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The presence of the Lord, right, is with us in the valley, regardless of what kind of valley it is, whatever trial, he's with us. And his presence with us is what's going to help us and is what's going to give us great comfort, is his presence. When you look at that verse, look at all the other verses that come before this. Look at the way that God is talked about in the first three verses. So I'm not an English major, so I think it's the third person, right? Okay, the Lord talks about in the third person. He restores my soul, he leads me. All third person. When you get to this verse, he switches to the second person, right? Saying, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you are with me. It's very personal. It's very intimate. And so it's gone from this kind of talking about God to now, you're my God. You're with me. You're present with me. Your presence with me. And I think if you talk to anyone who's gone through great trials, who's a Christian, and they're clinging to the Lord, they know him and become to know him more intimately in those trials than at any other time. That closeness comes through trial. And it's not that that's the only time we feel close to God, but, you know, we learn his nearness and his love for us, the intimacy that he has with his sheep is so much greater in those difficult times, right? Just like you think about, you know, if you have a sheep that's struggling and you're a shepherd, you don't want to lose it, right? You don't want it to die on you. You want it to survive. And so you're going to pay special attention and make sure that sheep makes it through, right? And the shepherd's going to want to make sure that he gets all the sheep through the valley safely, right? And so the Lord Jesus, he is with us in a special way when we're going through these different valleys. And so think about that transition, that changeover from third person to second person is not an accident. You are with me. Which kind of begs the question, kind of back to this. Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Do you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus? Because that's the only way you'll ever be able to say what he says, you are with me. Right? And how we get there, how we come to that place, is by making a decision. A decision to put our faith in Christ, right? As it says there in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast, right? So God, nobody's going to be able to say, I was saved or I became a Christian because I was such a great person. Because, you know, my good deeds were so great. And that nobody's ever going to be able to say that, right? The only answer, the only right answer is to say, I'm a sinner. Jesus died for my sins. I have accepted his payment for me. He has forgiven me. What he did in my place, right? That's the only way. And that's how you become one of his sheep. That's how you'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, right? But this God's presence in our difficulties, in our valleys, is what's going to help us not be afraid, to help us through each and every one of those difficulties. Now, it also mentions there in that Psalm 23 where he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? And, of course, now the rod, I was trying to get a hold of one of these things, you know, and I see pictures of them, and I just, one of these days I'll get a rod and a staff. I don't know what I'll do with it. I don't have any sheep, you know. I'm certainly going to beat anybody. But but the rod, was the pictures I see is like a stick like this, you know, and you would use it to beat off the predators primarily, okay? And then the staff, you know, the kind of, you see the traditional staff with the crook on it, whatever you would use to guide the sheep or help the sheep, know just how much to tap them this way so they go the way they're supposed to be and not get in trouble. And so so you could think about this as God's protection and guidance as we go through the valley. And we've talked about guidance last week about following his lead. But just knowing that our shepherd is protecting us through that time, that he's gone ahead of us, he knows what's going on. I think about this verse here, Isaiah 43, when I think about his protection, verses 1 and 2. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. You know, so think about this. If you're a Christian, you're one of his sheep, you're his. You've been redeemed, right? And so then he goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Now, did it say that they wouldn't have to go through the waters? Did it say that they wouldn't have to go through the fire? No, that's going to happen. But he's saying, listen, I'm with you through that. I'm going to protect you through that. It's going to be hard, right? But you're not going to be burned up. You're not going to drown. Okay? Because I'm with you. He's protecting us, okay? And so, you know, again, we need to have an accurate view of life and the way God has made us, that, you know, just because we become a Christian does not save us from all difficulty. It doesn't save us from all trials, life difficulties. We experience sickness and death and heartache and, you know, all that, right? We still live in a fallen world, and so we're experiencing all that, right? And becoming a Christian does not eliminate that, but the Lord is with us in that. He's protecting us in that. And we need to know his nearness. More than anything I can think of, God's word should be a great comfort to us. I remember when our kids were little, we played some videos for them that were just like scripture put to song. And one of them was, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, I will trust in you, I will trust in you. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. And that's one of the Psalms, I think it's 53. And so we think about that. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. It's because of a reminder, in God whose word I praise. So the psalmist, when he writes that, is saying, I'm remembering your word, and I'm hanging on to it. And I can even praise you according to your word, even though all this stuff, as we go through the valley, is happening, right? And so the God of heaven and earth, right, who's put his affections on you as a believer, he's not forgotten you. We need to hang on to his word because that is true, and he keeps every promise that he has for us. He is going to make good on, okay? So knowing what the Word of God says will be one of the greatest comforts for us when we go through these valleys. Because sometimes it's going to be all you've got. All right? It's the Word of God and knowing that it's true, even though with our eyes, it might not even look like it, okay? I was reminded of how important it is to know what the instructions say. This week, Linda and I were transporting some stuff in the church trailer. We were just transporting stuff from point A to point B, and I figured out it was about 1,200 pounds worth of stuff. And so I'm like, you know, I don't, the church trailer, I mean, I don't know how much you can put on it. I mean, it's, first of all, I think it's been around a long time. You know, and the last thing I wanted to do is on my watch, break the axle, right? And so we came out here, and I couldn't even read. Thank God for my phone. I just say, I zoomed in on this thing, and it says there's a word off to the left. It's like an abbreviation. It says 2990 pounds. And that's the weight of the trailer fully loaded. That's the weight of itself as well as anything you put on it. So I'm like, well, I don't know what the weight of the trailer is. Because I got to do some subtraction. I got to subtract off the weight of the trailer, see how much the capacity it's got for the payload, right? If you say, or the cargo, right? So then we're like, well, what model trailer is this thing, right? And so there's some little teeny letters at the top for the model. Really, really hard to see. But we looked it up and found out that it can handle 1,600 pounds. Okay, so we're like, hey, we're good. You know, but I was afraid because, you know, I don't transport stuff every day, okay? I'm wet behind the ears in the trailer pulling department, okay? I pulled it a couple of times. But I knew it didn't have any close, well, I don't think it had close to 1,200 pounds in it. But anyway, so we were good. So I felt so good about that. Okay, we're all good, right? We hook it up. And after I got it hooked up onto the back of the hitch that we had, it was like that far from the ground. Oh, you know, part of me is like, oh. You know, part of me is like the guy thing. Oh, we'll be fine. I'm sure no guy here has ever said that before something bad happens, right? But at first I thought, oh, it'll probably be okay, you know. And then we start pulling it out to the front, onto the part where that actually is paved out here. I'm like, this is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. This is not a good idea. So I stopped it, and I tell Lynn, I said, listen, I don't think this is a good idea. Something's wrong. You know, because we have to go over a railroad track no matter which way we're going, and plus we got to get out of the drive. Okay, it does this a little bit, you know. So I said, I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do, and I was getting frustrated. Part of me was like fearful, like what am I gonna do? We got to get this stuff. And so anyway, then I'm like, I wonder if you can flip the hitch over. Can you do that? Are you allowed to do it? I mean, yeah, I think you're talking to newbie here, okay? Trailer newbie guy. And so I thought, I think you can do that. And on the side of it are actually written instructions that tell you can do that. And yeah, I know, exactly. When I first put that thing in there, I just, you know, I punched a hole in the instructions because that's where you got to put your pin, and just slapped it in there. I just figured, hey, the way they gave it to me at U-Haul is the way it's supposed to be. Right, which it is permissible to be this way, but it drops your trailer like a couple of inches. And so then I realized, okay, the instructions tell me I can flip it around if you can get it off. Okay, I'll save you the extra long story, but we did get it off with the help of some nice guys at the U-Haul down on Rome Hilliard. Super nice guys. Walked in there, hey, we got that thing. Got these big wrenches out like this long. You know, because you got to get some torque on the thing. Because I had my little crescent wrench. I think they were laughing at me, like, you don't know what you're doing, do you? Like, nah, not really. I can hook it up. I can drive. That's about all I can do. And so anyway, we got it hooked up, got it flipped over. Plenty of clearance at the bottom of the front part of the trailer. And but what I was thinking about was that I was afraid until I knew what the payload was allowed to be, what the instructions said about that, and until I knew that I could actually properly turn this thing around, right, and flip it over. Once I knew that, those guys are the authorities. They said it so, we can make it so, right? And so I had confidence then. I had a peace, you know, and that may sound silly to you, but like, you know. But think about that in our walk through the valleys, right? Our comfort and peace is going to come from what we know he has said is so. What the scripture says, right? What it says we can bank on, right? What it says about who he is with us in the trials, like, right? And so, and again, this so much of this of our Christian walk comes back to the Word of God, isn't it? Feeding on the Word of God, understanding it, believing it, trusting it, right? And that is really going to be a huge comfort for us in the valley, right? And actually, I did print that psalm there. It's actually Psalm 56. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. But the question is, do you know his word so that you can have confidence in it, right? Because otherwise, you're just thinking it might be so, right? Maybe I can flip the hitch over. I don't really know, right? But what do the instructions say? What does God's word say? Okay. So this morning, I'd just like us to pray together, right? And let's pray. Maybe you're going through a valley, and let's pray about that. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Father in heaven, thank you that you are with us in the valley, that you promise the shepherd's presence and protection for us. We know also, Lord, we can have confidence that there are things you want to do in our hearts and in our lives as we go through the valley. You want us to spiritually grow. And we can also have confidence, Lord, as we go through the valley, knowing that you have led us there and that you will lead us through. Lord, whatever the different valleys that we might be going through right now, Lord, help us just to remember this. Put our confidence in this word, the Psalm 23, verse 4. Knowing that our comfort comes from your presence, knowing that you're with us, and knowing that you protect us. We don't have to fear, even if it's the worst valley that we could think of, even if it's facing death. You are with us. Help us just to grow in our trust. Help us to know you more intimately in the valley. Lord, let us draw near to you in the valleys and not run away, but cling to you, look to you every step. In Jesus' name, we pray.